But yeah, as I said, I certainly remember Coach Pym, and he made a real impression on me. And I still have a couple friends who were in the gym class with me, and we still joke around about some of the stuff that happens sometimes. Most of it I probably can't repeat on this type of tape, but anyway, there was some funny things. I guess I'd say he gave us some kind of crude early sex education lectures, you might say. I liked him. I was kind of scared of him, but I thought he was fair. I didn't think he was a mean person.
Did you see smoking on the campus?
Yeah, people smoked like crazy. I mean, I never started smoking, which I'm glad of, but I think actually it was permitted. I don't know if it is now. My recollection was if you went outside between the buildings, you could smoke, and there was certainly a lot of it going on.
Have you ever seen the alcohol?
Probably a little bit. I can remember people sort of sneaking off, and there was certainly a lot of alcohol used around that time, probably much more off school grounds than on, but I have a vague memory of people probably sneaking a little alcohol up and drinking it on school grounds. I think you weren't supposed to smoke in the bathrooms, and I remember that people would smoke in the bathrooms, and it was incredibly smoky in there because they would go in and they'd smoke them real fast to sort of get it over with. And I can remember what some guys would do. There was a lot of water getting used back then. It was probably the cause of one of Chapel Hill's earliest water crises, because what people would do is they'd stand next to the toilet, they'd keep it flushing, and they'd keep smoking real fast. And if a teacher walked in, they could throw it in the toilet, and it would hopefully go down before they got caught. So it was sort of continuous smoking and toilet flushing. Again, it made me glad I didn't smoke, because I didn't have to do that, but...
Were there any pots that were used on campus?
Probably a little bit on campus, quite a bit off campus. But most people, you know, had cars and could drive to school. And I remember in the morning in the parking lot, you could see a lot of cars sitting up in the parking lot with a lot of smoke in them. And I don't think it was all cigarette smoke. There weren't any that I remember. I don't remember a specific dress code, and I don't remember, on the other hand, people dressing too wildly. I guess, you know, you had the impression that, you know, if you wore something really wild, that, you know, that you could probably be asked, you know, to change it. Like maybe if a girl had an extremely short skirt or something, you would probably expect that a teacher would say something about it. So it wasn't, you know, completely wide open, but I don't remember any dress code. It was just, I think, sort of a nice time for all of us. As I said, I mean, you know, you don't really have many of the pressures of adulthood. I mean, basically, you don't have to have a job or worry about making money. It's, you know, the only real worry is how you're going to do on your tests, and that's, you know, looking back, that's a lot less of a worry than just sort of dealing with the normal day-to-day things of life. I think for all of us, it was just kind of a time to grow up, basically, and you know, I do think we all felt like Chapel Hill was a nice place to be, and we kind of perceived that we were probably a little snooty in some ways. We probably thought we were a little better than people from, you know, maybe more rural areas, which, of course, isn't true. We were just like anybody else. One thing I do remember is, you know, growing up in Chapel Hill, I think we all kind of had the sense that we were maybe a little more sophisticated than maybe other kids might be. And looking back, I really don't think that's the case. I mean, I think we were probably just as immature as anybody else our age was. I do think being in Chapel Hill that you probably got exposed to more things. I mean, more, you know, probably more good things like ideas and probably more bad things like drugs. I mean, for better or for worse, I think there probably just maybe a lot more exposure to adult things. I don't think that necessarily made the kids grow up any faster. I just think it maybe made them, you know, be exposed to things earlier.
Anything else you'd like to say?
I think that's about it. I mean, I've enjoyed talking to you, and, you know, it's been interesting. I don't know if I've said anything very profound or not, but I've enjoyed talking about it. But, Bob, I really can't think of anything else that we haven't covered that that would be, you know, important about all this.
Well, thank you very much, Bob.
Well, thank you. One other thing that I do remember that actually led to contacts between blacks and whites is probably, you know, a little unfortunate, but it was drugs. I remember that when drugs became popular, a lot of the white kids who were kind of considered hippies at the time were sort of known as the ones that had drugs. And I remember a lot of black kids who maybe wanted to get the drugs starting to hang around with these white kids and, you know, kind of forming some friendships with them, but, you know, that's kind of what had started it. I mean, basically, some of the white kids had them, and some of the other kids, whoever they were, wanted them. I do remember that as something that that had happened.
That's maybe a bad way to start forming relationships.
Yeah, right.